Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we find in the Gospel according to St. Luke, and it's a shorter version of the sending of the 12, which was just read to you from Matthew. This is in chapter 9 of St. Luke, verse 1 and following. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whoever will not receive you when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. This is the text. In the name of Christ, my dear Christian friends and fellow workers, Mark tells us that the purpose of the ministry of Christ was to come and to seek and to save that which was lost, and to give his life a ransom for many. The Apostle Paul, some years later, wrote, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, made under the law, to redeem that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Already in eternity, a covenant was made between the Father and the Son that in view of the fact that Adam and Eve would fall into sin and that men thereafter would be sinners, inheriting sin as well as committing sin, it was determined that the Son of God was to give his life upon earth. As time went on, finally, as St. Paul tells us, the time was ripe for the Son of God assuming life in the womb of the Virgin Mary. The last 3 years of his 33-year or so plus years was devoted to preparing people for his kingdom and also accomplishing the redemption of the world by dying vicariously on the cross for all mankind. In order to continue this program, which he initiated and which he would also make possible by his death and resurrection, our Lord decided to call men who would be especially entrusted in representing him here upon earth and also promoting his kingdom. We're told in the first chapter of John's Gospel how a number of the men whose names were given to us by Matthew, how they became disciples. And then later on, our Lord called 12 of these men and organized what we might call a peripatetic seminary. These 12 men had about, we could say, nearly a 3-year course, which would be somewhat parallel to the one which people entering the ministry receive today. They received both practical as well as theoretical instruction and learning. The theoretical, of course, was obtained by walking with Jesus. They didn't have a permanent complex of buildings the way we have, but the area of Judea, Samaria, Galilee, the Decapolis, were the places where Jesus would deliver sermons, where he would speak parables, and where very often he would privately instruct them. And you certainly will have to envy these 12 seminary students, whom we will say were the students in Christ Seminary of the first century, because they had an excellent teacher, one who spoke with authority, who knew what he was talking about. But our Lord also gave his seminarians, if I might use that modern expression, field experience. In our text, and there are two other parallels to the Matthew passage. The Matthew passage is the longer of the three. There's a short one also in Mark, and the text which I read in Luke. We're told there that the disciples were sent out on what we would call field experience. It's only in the last 30 years or so that Lutheran seminaries and possibly also other seminaries have inaugurated what we call the field work program. When I was a student, we didn't even have to go on a vicarage. It was an optional matter. There was absolutely no field program. Some of us were smart enough to know that we would like to get some practical experience, so we tried to attach ourselves to some church, as I did with the St. Louis City Missionary. However, Jesus was very practical, and here he sends his first seminary class out for experience. And it's on the sending of the 12, this field work experience, that I would like to briefly speak this morning. And first of all, I would like to note when this occurred. We're told that after Jesus had visited his hometown of Nazareth, where he was rejected, that shortly thereafter, this sending out of the 12 occurred. The Matthew account is much more complete than the parallels in Mark and in Luke. And that text and the other two ought to be a very comforting and a very instructive to us who are or who will be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're told that the sending of the 12 occurred toward the end of the so-called third Galilean circuit of Christ. At that time, he was drawing great crowds. And as Jesus looked at these people who were following them, he was moved with compassion, because he says they were like a shepherd, a flock without a shepherd. Not that they were not receiving religious instruction, but they were so weighed down with thousands of ordinances which had been worked out by the scribes and the Pharisees, that all joy, you might say, was taken out of their religion and its practices. There was no comfort in the legalistic kind of religion which was being advocated to these people. And so Jesus wanted to give them the real bread of life. And it was out of compassion for them that then he wanted to multiply his activity by sending 12 men out who would go into the villages. And it's interesting that Mark tells us that this one was done two by twos. There's certainly an advantage when two people go out, because they can encourage each other, they can inspire each other, they can support each other. And so we see that our Lord was a very perceptive psychologist, realizing the value of one helping one in a situation like that. He also told his disciples, and this, of course, would be something that we also would want to remember, that he says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. He says, these many people who were following him in the villages and in the cities of Galilee were like a harvest which was absolutely ripe, and unless it was taken care of, it would rot and perish. And so unless these people were to become acquainted with him and with his way of salvation, they too would be lost. And so as seminarians and as pastors and as professors, we ought to be very much interested in the millions of people in the world today who are like these people of Christ's time, who are shepherdless, who have no hope, who have nothing to look forward to, while we have the gospel of redemption. We have a gospel which gives them not only hope for this life, but also for the life to come. We would also quickly note that the content of the commission which our Lord gave his first seminarians of Christ's seminary of the first century. Now, you have instructions here which, of course, do not apply to every situation, to every age. For one thing, if you read the complete account, they were to limit their activity to the Jews. Later on, as you know, our Savior, which says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. He gave them a special power to perform miracles, so that when they would go into the villages, the fact that they would cure the sick, drive out devils, and heal all manner of diseases would testify to the reliability and the authenticity of their message. It would help them. But you will notice in all three texts concerning the sending of the 12 that the first thing which is always stated is that they're supposed to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Let us never underestimate the value of the Christian pulpit and the power that good sermonizing and good preaching can do for the nourishment and also for the conversion of people as a result of well-prepared, well-organized, biblically founded and scripture-based sermons. So that was their first assignment, to preach the gospel. And of course, we know that the gospel was the good news that even though men are lost and condemned sinners, yet Christ died for them. And if they're brought to believe that, they will be justified, they will be saved, and they can look forward to a happy eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the directives here were for a special occasion because they were not supposed to take anything along. They weren't supposed to have an extra pair of shoes. They were not supposed to have anything which would encumber them. And it would also emphasize the fact that when these representatives of our Lord went into the villages and cities, that they were not like the mendicant preachers of that day, out for money. What a bad picture we receive today when we listen to some of our outstanding television preachers, how they are spending millions of dollars for themselves and still always putting forth the claim, when you give this money, you're supporting the kingdom of God. And so we have to be on our guard that we don't give the impression to a people and to members of our congregation that we're only interested in the easy kind of living, that we're not willing to make sacrifices, and that we are not in the ministry for the sake of the advantages which it might give us. Well, our time is up, and I hope that this text, in the future when you read it, that you will remember especially that, like Jesus, if you're a good pastor, you will be filled with compassion, and that you will do something about the millions of people that are dying without Christ and who are going to an endless grave, and that you will also fervently pray to the Lord of the Church that he will motivate people to enter into the ministry. And of course, if we pray that God should send messengers into his harvest, then we will also be willing to support them and to contribute toward what it takes to prepare ministers and also to support the work of missionaries. May God fill all of us with the same zeal that our Savior have, and may at the end of our lives, when we think back of the years of our ministry, that we will have shown compassion, that we will have really prayed the Lord of the harvest for many pastors and missionaries, and above all, that we will have preached the true gospel of Jesus Christ, which the Holy Spirit will use to bring about conversions and keep people in the faith unto the end. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.